I am very glad to speak to you this evening on this subject, but I want you to know that I am not going to dance because you may be expecting it, and it's not possible for many reasons, because when one must be continuously in practice, in that work, and one cannot do these things on a lecturing tour. And also, I do not dance in public, but I will explain a few gestures. But the important thing is, first of all, there must be a basic interest in the art and in the arts in general, and perhaps a deep interest in the spiritual aspect of the art. Now, before I start to speak about the dance itself, I will recite, which is what I usually do. But I request you, because it is not a performance, it's a form of prayer, so I request you not to clap. The first, these shlokas or these verses are descriptive, and the first is to Ganesha, who is the lord of the elements and a remover of obstacles, giver of blessing. The second shloka is to Nataraja, the king of dancers, and the third is to Sri Krishna, the great divine flute player. Praschodan madamantara bhramarika jamkara gitam uhu hela brahmita vadana vyadikaram bhavolasat prakriyam nrityannastu sukhayava karimukaha punyopaharaischirat Anandi natabhavitairihayatha bhavaisa samajika nirantara samujjalita ganarasa deepta jalajekshana varodha matulam suradipa mukanda druta venuravalina kritanrit natyagana sandra nikatam samullasita sadbharata yogi nigamantarasa sararasikasya hrudayam Shubham sakala siddhikara ashrayata surendramani ashrayata shambhunatanam Yam drashtva yamunam pipasuranisham vyuhogavam gahate vidyutvaniti nilakantani vaho Yam drashtum utkantate uttam sayatamala pallavamiti Chindanti yam gopika kantihi kaliya shasanasya vapusha sapavani patuna. Friends, I would like first of all to explain to you our Indian idea of art, because we have in India a very ancient tradition in the arts and an ancient culture, and in India everything that affects humanity, that is for the betterment of humanity, that is for the upliftment of humanity and the spiritualizing of humanity, is all part of our religion. Because religion in the ancient days, according to the ancient Hindu philosophy, is not merely a set of beliefs. It is the way of attainment of unity with the divine, and it is a way of seeking for the truth. And your actions to be dictated by your understanding of the truth, your understanding of all that is spiritual, right and wrong. And that is why we call this ancient Hindu religion dharma. We do not call it religion, because religion is an English word. We call it Sanatana Dharma, or the eternal dharma, or the eternal righteousness, or eternal truth, in whatever way you might like to translate it, because it is a word that includes all words and all ideas, and it is not very easy to describe it, although some people in a very literal way describe it as duty, which is a very small perception of that idea. Now, amongst the great dharma for a nation, for the world, that which is righteous, one of the highest expressions is the expression of art. Because art is a divine manifestation of life. And we must also understand that art, true art, is also a form of religion. What do we do when we think of religion? We meditate, we pray, we go to the temples, we go to the churches. And what do we try to do? In our hearts, we try to attain a knowledge of the divine and to attune ourselves with our inner selves. And so we turn inwards in our minds and in our hearts to the divine, whatever name we might like to call that divine. Now in art, we consider the same spiritual idea, but instead of turning inwards, it is turned outwards. And when it is turned inwards, it becomes meditation, it becomes prayer. When it is turned outwards, it becomes art, it becomes beauty, it becomes the manifested self, it becomes an expression of the divine creator. And every artist is fundamentally a channel for that divine creation. Of course, when we say every artist, it is only art is an expression of that spiritual quality. Not that it means that you have to have only a religious subject. You may paint a tree, you may try to paint a flower. But when you put beauty into this, then there is spirituality as well. And so arts have had a very high place in our Indian civilization. And the reason why I mentioned the word Hindu is the fact that the whole of Indian culture originally owes its origin to the Hindu philosophy and the Hindu outlook and the Hindu teaching. And so our temple, our sculpture, our music, our dance, our philosophy, literature, arts and crafts, everything has its origin in that philosophical philosophical approach, in that philosophical way of life and philosophical expression. And therefore, when we speak about art being religious, we don't mean that it merely expresses the teachings of a religion in its formal sense, nor merely the beliefs or the doctrines of the religion, but it expresses the spirit of the religion. And that is what we mean by religious art. And a great deal of our art has been inspired from the temples and also from nature, because the nature is the highest expression of the divine artist. And when we go to the dance, for example, in India, there are many, many systems of dance, and almost every part of India is very rich, especially in different forms of folk dancing and so on. And music also, our music is entirely different from the Western music. Because Western music is harmony and our music is melody. But our melody is very, very highly developed, and we have what is called the raga system of music, which is a very elaborate system, and our music depends a great deal upon the creative ability of the musician. We also have great composers who have composed songs and set music. But a concert musician would never be able to satisfy an audience just by playing that music, because he has to contribute something of his own as well. And so the concert musician must also be a creative musician, otherwise it is impossible for him to express his own self. It is not possible for me to go into many details about Indian music. First of all, it will take a long time to explain it. Secondly, it could only be understood by those who have really studied music. And thirdly, in order to appreciate, you must hear it, because really the only way we learn to appreciate music is to go on to hearing it. But dance is different, because somehow or other people are able to appreciate things when it is visual much quicker than through the ear. And that is why we find in India, especially today, large number of people, especially from Western countries, are becoming deeply interested in the Indian dance and are able immediately to appreciate it. And therefore, in a way, dance is an art which can more quickly take away barriers between people. And but in reality, all art is a bridge between all nations. Now, coming back to the dance, our great conception of the dance is, the dance is an art which includes all arts. It is movement, it is gesture, it is line, it is sculpture. Not that you make it with stone, but every movement is sculpturous. It is music, because dance is an expression of music, and therefore it is music. And in India especially, according to our ancient idea of dance, which is being carried on today too, according to that, if you have no comprehension of music, you cannot dance, because dance is an expression of what is sung. And mostly in India, all our dances are composed of not only movements of the body, movements of the feet, gestures of the hands, but also they tell the great stories from our ancient books. And our whole of the Hindu religion is a religion that has lived mainly through the stories, which has meant showing before the eyes of the world examples of living. And so they are all taken from our sacred books, the Mahabharata, which is one of our most ancient books. It is almost the history of a millions of years of people. And in that, great teachers of humanity and especially the Lord Krishna plays a very important part. Then the story of the Ramayana, which is also one of our greatest epics, which tells the life story of one of our greatest teachers, Sri Rama. These are very important to the Indian nation. And also other stories. And so every dance is an expression of story, of emotions, of the life of an individual. There were, of course, mainly in the temples, a certain dancers called Devadasis. Devadasi means she who serves God, the server of the divine. And they were those who consecrated themselves to the temples because their service was through art. Now, our temple was like a cultural center besides being a place of worship. And so, every art found its home in the temple. Just like in a court, there were great court musicians, court dancers. In the temple, for the spiritual worship, there were also musicians, there were dancers, craftsmen, and others who were appointed, and on all occasions, they would give their performance, which would be an offering or a dedication. Unfortunately, due to lack of sponsorship, due to the breaking down of so much of our tradition with the different other cultures that had come into India, the result was the gradual decline of the arts and particularly of the dance. And it nearly became extinct. I am very happy to know that today there is a tremendous interest, especially since the freedom of India, for the building up of the cultural life of the country. And therefore, there is a renaissance along these lines. Although there are no temple dancers. But besides these solo dancers, there were also groups of dancers in different parts of India. And those were those who gave what we call dance dramas. Many of them, most of them, were men. In the west coast of India, there was a system of dance called Kathakali. That system is mostly drama with dancing. And different individuals took different parts in the story. But in the solo system of dance, which is called Bharatanatyam, the individual told the story. And so she did not take different parts. She just gave little incidents from the different stories. Now the art of that is most famous in India is called Bharatanatyam. Our dance is called Bharatanatyam because it is the most ancient of all. And all other systems of dance in India have had their origin in that ancient dance. Now this Bharatanatyam has had a very wonderful background. Just as you have in the Christian religion, the Trinity, in all religions there is a conception of the Trinity. And in India, we have the same called Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. Brahma is the creator, Vishnu is the protector, and Shiva, though sometimes they use the word destructive, destroyer, in reality is not the destroyer because he is merely the destroyer of ignorance, not the destroyer in people. But he is also the great yogi. He is also the great one, the great dancer. And another name for him is called Nataraja. Nataraja means the king of dancers, because he is the great artist. Through his cosmic art, through the cosmic dance, brought salvation to the world. And that is why the whole image of Nataraja is a wonderful symbology. And now the figure of Nataraja, the bronze figure, has become so famous that you find it almost in every museum in the world. I do not know whether you have it in the museum in Auckland, but they have it in every museum and many people take copies of this. Unfortunately, they have no understanding of the meaning, nor do they understand the sacredness of it. And generally in the modern world, reverence is something which is rather noticeably absent. That is why in one place I saw one of these great figures of Nataraja, the cosmic dancer, was worshipped in the temple. This temple image, I do not know how, found its place in the home of a very well-to-do millionaire whom I visited. And I was rather shocked to notice that the frame which represents the flame, they used it for hanging their hats upon. And that shows the deterioration in the modern mentality that is taking place everywhere. Well, anyway, this image of Nataraja has a very wonderful symbology, and it is very important that you should know, because the root of the dance is in him. Now, he is the divine dancer, and his dance has a very wonderful meaning. As you might have noticed, if any of you have seen the image, perhaps most of you have not, one foot is treading upon what is called the Apasmara Murti, that is the image of ignorance, and the other foot is raised up, which represents the universe. His dance, one upon earth, one upon lifted up towards heaven. His right hand is held in blessing, and his left hand is pointing down to the very figure that he is trampling, in order to show that while he destroys only the evil, and yet he is full of compassion. Then one hand holds the drum, which is called the damaru, which he uses as his own accompaniment. And the other hand holds the forearms, the other arm holds the fire of purity, the fire of truth, and the fire that destroys the lower self, the lower passions and ignorance. That is the meaning of those gestures. And of course, there is more symbology, because you see in him the third eye. The third eye represents the eye of wisdom. Symbolic, because through his meditation, through his transcendence of his lower self, which he has burnt to ashes, through that and through his five senses, he has developed the sixth sense, the sense of intuition and the sense of wisdom, which represents the third eye. Now, the dance is considered to be something which is of which is to be appreciated by all. Appreciated by humans, the devas, the angels and all. Not a very... It says here in one of the great scriptures that the dance is acceptable to the hearts of the gods as a great sacrifice and a representation of the dual aspect of the mother and father spirit. And it is appealing to all, whether to the musician, to the eye, to the ear, to all the senses. And because it appeals, and because it is a divine instrument, it elevates and brings illumination to all of diverse tastes. Devanam yadamamananti munayah kantakratum chakshasam rudrenetam umakratavyadikare swange vibhaktam dvida traigunyodbhavatra lokacharitam nanarasam drishyate natyam bhinnarucherjanasya bahudapyekam samatanam traigunyodbhavamatra lokacharitam nanarasam drishyate natyam bhinnarucherjanasya bahudap ekam samaradhanam. These are the great script from the great scriptures of the dance. Now the dance Bharatanatya has three syllables. I am sorry to have to explain Sanskrit words, but there is no other word to take its place, so I cannot do it. But the three words are bhava, raga and tala. Bhava means expression, raga means music, and tala means rhythm or time. Now from the word bhava, the first syllable is taken, bha. From the word raga, the first syllable is taken, ra. From the word tala, the first syllable is taken, tha, which makes Bharata. It also is the name of a great sage who went to the Lord Shiva, who saw his divine dance, and he said to him, now the whole world is seeking for nirvana or illumination or moksha, but they are not able to understand spiritual truths only through scriptures and books. Is there no other way to understand spiritual truths? And the story is the Lord Shiva gave them the dance. And therefore it is called the fifth Veda. The Vedas are the root of all Hindu religion, and this is called the fifth Veda. And so Bharata came and taught it to, through, it was learnt by Parvati, and through her it was learnt in the world of humanity. And Shiva himself showed the dance, and then from that came the origin of dance. The expression of dance has four branches, which is the expression of the emotions through the face, through the eyes and so on. The movement of the body, the language of the hands, the gestures. Now the language of the hands are very, very important, because in India, because you have to tell the story, in order to tell the story, you have the gesture language. And the third is aharya. Aharya is costume. The costume that you wear to portray the different characters in the dance. And also, so these are the different expressions. And in the Angika, or rather the gesture language, we have a special feature in India which I do not think exists at all in the West. And to a certain extent it exists also in other forms of Eastern dancing, in Java, in Bali, and sometimes even in the old Chinese dancing, and Cambodia, Thailand, and in many of the Southeast Asian countries, which have had their roots in the ancient Hindu culture, they also have this gesture language. Now, the gesture language is very simple, and it is rather amazing to think. The five fingers of the hands can do so much and tell so much story. But you will never be able to understand all of what it means unless you also know the meaning of the words. Because you must know the story. Sometimes people come to India, they want to learn the Indian dance. They say they will learn something in 2 months or 3 months. They come and they try to learn something. But actually, you cannot learn the dance just by learning the steps. You must know the background. You must know the spirit of it. You must be steeped in the culture, and you must also have your roots in the great tradition. Without it, it becomes a mimicry and it becomes an imitation and it loses much of the value. So I would like to tell you something about this gesture language. The gesture language also developed through the century. The most ancient of all is called the Bharata Shastra, that is the great textbook on the dance given by this great sage Bharata. And in that, and later on in another book called Abhinaya Darpana, if you are interested, there is a translation of that book by a great great man called Ananda Kumara Swami. He is very, very well known in the Western world. He has written very magnificent books on Indian culture and Indian art, and one of them is a translation of the Abhinaya Darpana, which is the story of the dance. Now, in that, all these are written in Sanskrit shlokas, in Sanskrit verses. They are called Patakatripatako Ardha Pataka Kartari Mukaha Mayurakyo Ardha Chandrascha Arala Shuka Tundakaha Mushtischa Shikara Mushtischa Shikarakyascha Kapitta Kataka Mukaha Suchi Chandrakala Padma Koshaha Sarpashirastata Mrigashirsho Simha Mrigashirsho Simha Mukaha Kangulascha Alapadmakaha Chaturo Bhramarascha Hamsasyo Hamsapakshakaha Sandamsyo Mukulascha Tamrachuda Trishulakaha. These are the names of the gestures with the poetry. And because I am a little out of touch, I am looking at the book. Then there are also the gestures of these both the hands. Anjalischa kapotascha karkatashvastikastata dolahasta pushpaputaha utsangashivalingakaha katva berundakahyascha shakadam shanka chakrecha samputam pashakilakau matsya kurma varahascha garudo nagabandakaha. Now you must know that all these gestures are specially suited for representing the ancient stories and also for the philosophical meanings behind. And so many of these represent the names of the great devas, the great incarnations of the divine ones, and so on. And so you have these different gestures. For example, matsya, that is, matsya means also fish. Now we have the great being, the teacher, they say, has come into the world in different forms. First he came and took incarnation in the form of the fish, then in the form of the tortoise, then in the form of the boar, in the form of the dwarf, then in the form of a great hero, in the form of Sri Krishna, the flute player, in the form of Sri Rama, the great teacher, the great hero, and then in the form of the Buddha, the compassionate one, and the incarnation that is yet to come, which is represented by the symbol of the horse, because it is all symbolic. So therefore, you have all these gestures which come into these movements. And then over and above these gestures, we have a whole series, a description of what is called the Navarasa. Because the most important thing in describing the stories is to describe the emotions of the human beings, the emotions of the different characters, and all the emotions are classified into the basic 9 classification. Of course, when you say 9, in each there are also subdivisions. And those 9, some of them are Shringara, that is beauty, love, and so on, and Hasya, laughter, which also has many other expressions like ridicule, smile, enjoyment, and so on, anger, jealousy, wonderment, sorrow, fear, and peace. All these are all the basic 9 sentiments. Now, if you want to understand human emotions, you really should read the Dance. Then only you will understand. Now, if you simply say this is pataka, you will never know what it means. Because so many people say, "I wish I could understand the dance." Well, it takes many years to understand it because it is like an ocean of study. And you can, if you understand, of course, you will appreciate it more. But even if you do, in order to understand the Indian dance, you must know the Indian stories too. And you must know the Indian philosophy also. Otherwise, you can't fully understand. But you can enjoy. Because very few people, I think, even in Western countries, very few people understand even Western dancing or classical dancing. But they enjoy it. So in the same way, the basic necessity is the enjoyment. Of course, if you know what it means, it is still more wonderful. But if you take, for example, 1 or 2 gestures, you take this gesture of pataka or tripataka, any of these, you won't know what it means. Well, what is there in it? That's not a dance. Now, that must go with the movement. It's only when it goes with the movement, then it has meaning. Now, if you want to know what the meaning is, you can say pataka. You take the pataka hand of 2. It's a simple gesture, but supposing you join it together, it becomes a gesture of salutation. And you use your hand in each gesture, there are many meanings. The salutation to the equal, the salutation to the teacher, and the salutation to the highest. And also, pataka could mean many things. The cloud, the night, to move, to welcome, to offer, to say no, and to sleep, to show a shield. All kinds of things can be expressed through that. That with the foot movement and the gestures of the body and the music, and you must remember in our Indian music, singing is very important because the words tell the story, and that is why singing is very important. And therefore, if you understand all this, then you will have some knowledge of what the dancer is trying to express. Then if you take Tripataka hand, there also you have many varieties. Tripataka is used, for example, for the crown of the king, or for the blue lotus, or for a tree, or for a creeper, or for decorating oneself, for example, like we wear in the forehead, for example, that. And also Tripataka is used for the plucking of flowers and making a garland with the flowers and wearing the garland. So you see how it can be used. And Shikara is the important one, that is with the thumb, because the most important finger in your hand is the thumb. This represents Shivalinga, Shiva, the great teacher. Thumb also means father, also elder brother, wearing of the sacred thread, holding of the rod of power, the king, showing of the king, the riding on an animal, for example, a king riding on the elephant or an animal, it would be shown in this way. So we have about altogether, if each gesture with all its variations is put together, we would have about 1,000, not less than 1,000 different meanings that we can give to all. And you can show combination of this of these two. If you want to show, for example, a lotus, here is a lotus. Now this is called the Alapadma. This is just Alapadma. Alapadma can represent also the full moon. It can represent the face. It can represent beauty. And it can also represent the lotus. Represent the lotus in this way or in that way. So if you want to show a tank full of water and the lotus growing out of the water with the lotus leaves, and then if you want to show the lotus petals, you can show in this. And then if you want to show the lotus with the bee, for example, that is a bee. The bee flying in different directions, then you can show how the lotus, the bee comes and drinks the honey out of the lotus. So you see how you can represent nature, the deer, and the two deer meeting together, rubbing their heads in affection, or eating the leaves from a plant and flying away, and so on. And you have tiger, every animal that is possible. Then all nature, the trees and the leaves and the buds and the flowers that are growing there, and the flowers, these represent the flowers. And then you have the creeper, which I have already shown you. Then the grass, everything can be shown with the hand, but also with the expression of the face. I would like to finish with one, just to show you a little sample. All our stories are taken from the lives of the great ones. There are always stories. One of the most charming stories I think we get most inspiration from is from the life of Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna was a great teacher, and as a child he was taken to Vrindavan and he was brought up by the cowherdesses. And he was a divine child. And the divine child was divine in every way, but he won the hearts of all people by being absolutely like a human child as well. And there are many stories of Krishna and how he played, and how the gopis or the cowherdesses were loved him. Of course, there are very charming stories too. One of the things was, there was supposed to be no other child who was as mischievous as this Krishna. He loved to steal butter, he liked to drink buttermilk, and he used to go into the gopis' homes and always was playing. So one day he went and stole the butter, and his hand was right inside the pot. And one of the gopis came and caught him red-handed and said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I am doing nothing, only my little calf ran away from my home. I was searching to see whether the calf is in that little pot," he said. And nothing could be said. Another time he was caught red-handed, and the gopi said, "I am going to take you to your mother, so she will punish you." So she took him. When she took him, said, "How is it possible that he stole thee and that he came and broke your pots?" She goes into the, she takes the gopis inside the house, and there they find Krishna fast asleep in the cradle, and this Krishna disappeared. So she, the mother said, "You are all of you unnecessarily blaming my child. Look how innocently he is sleeping here. He does not do such things." And so the gopis went away rather ashamed of themselves. Another time, there is a story of how Krishna went into the Ganges, into the Yamuna river, which was being poisoned by the serpents, and the water was being poisoned. And so in order to save the people, he jumps on the branch of a tree onto the hood of the serpent, and he dances on the serpent till the serpent completely is destroyed. And that is called Kaliya Krishna. He does many marvelous things in Vrindavan, and there is one thing after another, and this child Krishna is the wonderment of all people. One day he eats the earth. All children like to put dirt into their mouths. Sri Krishna did too. So he was putting it, and the mother said, "You may not do it." And he said, "I have not done it. I have not eaten anything," he said. So she said, "Open your mouth." And he opened his mouth, and there she saw the seven worlds in him. And she was full of devotion, and she bowed to him. So these are all the great stories of Krishna. And not only this, thousands and thousands of stories of Krishna are told. Now there is a little song in which there is a description of these gopis. First, he was a dark to look at. So the cows are thirsty. The waters of the Yamuna river is dark. So they want to go, they see the darkness, and they think it is the water of the Yamuna river. And when they go near, they do not find the river, but they find Krishna standing there. He is the one who looks beautiful as the river. Then there is lightning and thunder. And thinking that there is to be rain, seeing the dark clouds, the peacocks go near to open their mouths. And when they go near, they find it's not the dark cloud, but it is Krishna. And the gopis go to take the leaves from a tree to decorate their ears and their bodies. And when they see this magnificent tree, they go near, they find it is not the tree, but this great powerful being, Krishna. And he, that Krishna, who danced on the Kaliya, the serpent, let that Krishna protect all. So that is how the song goes. I just show a little bit. Yam drashtva yamunam pipasuranisham yam drashtva yamunam pipasuranisham vyuho gavam gahate. This is the first stanza. Yam drashtva yamuna pipasuranisho. Vyuho gavam gahate. Vidyutvaniti Neelakanta Nivaho Neelakanta Nivaho Vidyutvaniti Neelakanta Nivaho Yam Drashtu Utkantate. Tamala pallavamiti chindanti yam gopika chindanti yam gopika ka. Kanti Kaliya Shasanasya Vapushaha Kanti Kaliya Shasanasya Vapushaha Sapavani Patunaha Sapavani Patunaha. May he who is the great radiant being who danced on this great serpent, may he protect all of us. That is all it means. Kantihi Kaliyasasanasya Vapushaha Sapavani Patunaha.